Welcome to Bench Boost Boys, Game Week 27 forecast, double shit show. With me, your host Gav. I'm actually on my own today. If you listened to the episode earlier in the week when we did a review of a mid-Game Week 26 report, if you like, with me and Ben, I did mention I'd be back today, Friday, wrap up how Game Week 26 went and do a real quick preview of Game Week 27 as it's coming around so quick. That literally kicks off on Saturday, so the games are coming thick and fast. Quick bit of admin before I kick off then. At Bench Boost Boys is the Twitter tag. Benchboostboys.club is the website. Don't forget to join our private league on FPL. The code is P2IFBX. After a little jingle, I'm going to get into how I did in game week 26. I'll also have a quick look at Ben and Scott's teams. Neither of them are here, but seems like a fair thing to do. And then we'll take a quick break after that. Very, very brief look at watch list update. And then straight into game week 27 fixtures and finish up with what I think I'm going to do for game week 27. So stick with us.
Bench Boss Boys.
Okay, so I am going to start with how Ben finished up doing. He was doing pretty well when we did the mid-game week 26 review. He ended up doing really well. So the game week average finished up at 75 points, and Ben himself got 104. So he did all right. I still think the whole Kane triple captain thing's contentious. I made a little joke with him and Scott earlier on today to say that surely how Kane did was more of a relief than something to be celebrated. Obviously, on paper, it looks pretty nice that he got 24 points, but he effectively averaged 4 points in each game, so not too much to shout about. But I am pretty sure that when I come to use my triple captain, which I've still got, I will be turning 2 points into six. So there's that to look forward to. So Ben did pretty well. He got clean sheets both games for Luke Shaw at Man United. Same for Rüdiger at Chelsea. Quite a few blanks there. Pereira from from Leicester, didn't really do much. Son, only 3 in his second game. Gundogan, 4, because he got an assist in the second game. Fernandez, midfielder's blank there, 3 points for the midfielder's clean sheet. Calvert-Lewin, blank. Bamford didn't have a second game, and we've talked about Harry Kane. Martinez, he blanked really in the second game as well with a 1-0 loss away to Sheffield United. So yeah, Ben must be happy though, way above the game week average. He does also take a minus 8 point hit, but that's still, he's still going to be well above it. So well done, Ben, you smug little prick. And as a side note, Scott, who was away earlier in the week and will be back next week, I think, or he might be away again. It might be Ben. It's going to be me and Ben again. I've almost forgotten what Scott's face looked like at this point. As a side note, he got 92 points and he also triple captained Kane. So well above the game week average as well. So good for them. And now we'll get to me. If you did listen to the show earlier in the week, you'll know that I was having an absolute fucking horror show. The title of this week's episode, Double Shit Show, might give it away. But yeah, I had an absolute nightmare. I actually joked earlier on today that if you were to look at my score, you might go, oh, that's not bad for a single game week. 61 points. So quite a bit below the average. That might have been affected by the fact that so many people triple captained Kane. I'm aware that a bunch of people triple captained Fernandes and Salah as well. So, if you must. So, yeah, my game week is just reds across the board. All I can really talk about is who did well. And that was Martinez. And all those points came in his first game, the 1-0 win away to Leeds. Fernandes was my captain. Midfielders clean sheets for both games. So I turned 3 points in both games to six. Kane got me a goal in his first game. Otherwise, absolutely horrific. 7 points on the bench. I didn't lose out there. I looked at this team before the game week started and I genuinely thought, oh, no, that's pretty decent. 10 out of 11 starters have got 2 games. I've got a strong team. Gone to shit. So if you stay locked, when we get towards the end of the show and I talk about what I'm going to do next week, changes that I probably should have already have made, but I did feel confident, misplaced confidence, I suppose. So not a good game week for me at all. My game week rank, 6.5 millionth. Overall points that I scored this season, 1530, leaves me about 1.26 millionth out of 8 and something million. So my immediate goal was still to get under the 1 million mark. Scott's sitting nicely at 400,000 somewhere. I'm not sure where Ben is. He can't be too far behind. Ben's got a few more points than me. I think he's got about 20, 30 points more than me. So I think I'm still on target, but definitely came back down to earth with a bump considering the week before, game week, what was that, 25? I had an absolute storm. I was in the top 27,000 for that game week. So I'll go and mop up my tears, come back, regroup myself. Do you know what? We're going to go straight into the watch list. I said earlier in the week, Gareth Bale had to make it on there because he had a stormer of a game. He did play the second game. That was the contentious point I raised with Ben. Will Bale start the second game? And he did. He came off after about 60-something minutes, I think, for Lucas Moura. Obviously, he didn't do much in that second game. But it's kind of promising for him. I'm keeping my eye on him. I still maintain he's a bit expensive. Like, if I was going to spend that much money, I might be looking more at, say, Rashford at Man United or someone, if you'll excuse their current form. But Bale's on there. I'll keep my eye on him. El Ghazi as well. And I did mention earlier in the week that El Ghazi is probably getting opportunities because Grealish is out. Grealish is still at 50% to play, so we might not see him for a week or two. Then two new additions for me. Christensen for Chelsea. Before now, it looked like under Tuchel, the only definite was Rudiger. But Christensen's actually been playing, and he's been playing pretty well and regularly. I'm not sure how that changes when Thiago Silva's fit, but still worth keeping an eye on. And Richarlison, bit of a blast from the past. He was really good for me at the start of the season. I had Richarlison and James Rodriguez from Everton in my team. Richarlison's form is fantastic. So if you're looking at, even if it was something to switch out for DCL, could do worse than Richarlison at the moment. So that's the new ones for the watch list. I'm going to take a real quick break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the 11 fixtures for game week 27.
Bench Boss Boys.
Okay, so game week 27 fixtures. The only teams with two games this week are Manchester City and Southampton. And that is the last game of the game week. But starting from the top, we've got Burnley versus Arsenal. Arsenal, it's no secret their form's been up and down. But on top of that now, it looks like Arteta's taken a leaf out of Pep's book with the roulette on his team selections. Really, really hard to actually guess exactly who's going to be playing. I really like Saka, but he didn't play. And suddenly Pepe and Willian are back in the team. Maybe he's resting them. The fixtures are coming thick and fast, but it's not helping us FPL managers. So I've not really got anything really locked on for Arsenal, so I'm not bothering with any of their assets. Burnley-wise, I think Pope's still a good shout in goal. He's a bit more expensive than, say, Martinez, but if you're, you know, if you've already got Villa defenders or something, you don't want to double up, you could go for him or you could go for me. Burnley defender, they're definitely still worth a shout, but that's probably it. Defensive assets are the one, really, for Burnley. Next fixture, Sheffield United versus Southampton. So Sheffield United got a bit of a shock win. Southampton's form is awful. So I could well see Sheffield United winning this. That said, don't really fancy any of the assets in this fixture. So moving on swiftly, Aston Villa Wolves. Grealish down on the FPL website at the moment at 50% to play. Would be unlikely to see him play this week. That said, as I mentioned with the watch list, El Ghazi might get a shout there. So if you're looking for a bit of a budget pick for Aston Villa, you could do worse than him. From the Wolves side of things, their real informed player is Ruben Neves. So if you're looking for sort of a more of a budget midfielder, Neves is up there. People talk a lot about Neto, but just going by current form, which FPL calculates over the last 30 days, Neves is the informed player there. Brighton and Hove Albion versus Leicester. Barnes listed to be back April 10. Madison, unknown return date, and Justin, unknown return date. So Leicester's whole season's been turned upside down. Vardy is fit, although Iheanacho actually got their goal in their last match. Really hard to kind of back their assets when the two biggest guys are not there. Don't really have much to say about Brighton. I mean, actually, if you were angling for some clean sheet points, you could chuck someone like Ben White in your team for this game, or Sanchez in goal even. After that, West Brom versus Newcastle. Newcastle in real trouble, and Wilson is still out for 2 to 3 more weeks. West Brom, not much to shout about, but I did mention in last week's show that I have this feeling that Fulham hitting a bit of form might see them creep up and Newcastle slip into relegation. It just feels like they're in a bit of free fall. Even their in-form players are now injured. So they're looking a little doomed at this point, but there's still about 10 to 12 games to go, so we'll see. Liverpool-Fulham. This, for me, is my last roll of the dice for Salah. If Salah blanks in this game, he's gone. So, you know, the brave of you out there might look at this week's fixtures and wonder if it might actually be worth captaining Salah against Fulham. Ordinarily you would, but they're up shit creek. And as I said, Fulham have hit a bit of form. Like in the, for want of a better phrase, look of Lookman. He's doing well. Josh Madger got a few goals as soon as he arrived. So take a look at him as well. Poor old Liverpool. Will this be their, was it 6th home loss in a row? We'll find out, won't we? Manchester derby, Man City versus Manchester United. Going by current form, City should win this one. I know sometimes the rules go out the window a little bit with derbies, but I certainly wouldn't be captaining Fernandes on this one. If you were wanting to risk a captaincy on this, particularly because Manchester City have got 2 games in this game week, maybe it's time for De Bruyne. Maybe that happens. I mean, considering that Man United haven't scored many goals, not many people like to do this, but you could also captain someone like Ruben Dias at the back. Or Raheem Sterling, if you've got him. But if you're looking to maximise that, thinking, well, Manchester City are going to get the win here, and then they're going to go on to play Southampton, I can see it happening. I just always think there's a little bit of mystery around derbies. With regards to Gundogan, I've still got him in my team. He's definitely not getting as many chances now KDB is back. Ben and I touched on this earlier in the week in the other show. He's still playing. He's not actually playing that deep, but I just feel like all those spaces he was finding when he was in that rich vein of form when KDB was out, those spaces now will be occupied by KDB. And to be honest, rightly so. It feels a little absurd because Gundogan's in such fantastic form, but I think that's just the reality of it. I think you'll see a guy go from getting, I don't know, 6 to 8 points a game, probably back down to sort of 3 to 4. But, you know, at that price point, that's still a good return. Just a shame that it's not what it was. After that, Tottenham versus Crystal Palace. As much as Crystal Palace did get that draw against Man United, they have been in terrible form lately, especially without Zaha. And I don't think he'll be back for this one, unless I'm mistaken. But here's where the captaincy pick probably comes true for most of you. Kane or Son with a captain's armband, why not? I mean, Mourinho is really playing attack in these last couple of games and in the Europa League. The last game for Spurs, they had Dele Alli, Gareth Bale, Son and Kane, which is, you know, pretty impressive attacking lineup. So I may well find myself putting the captain's armband on Kane this week. Chelsea versus Everton. It's taken pretty much the whole season, but it does finally feel like Werner is warming up. So the brave of you might take the punt on that expensive asset. But probably more interesting for me, outside of the fact that Chelsea have been getting a lot of clean sheets and Rudiger is a solid choice, on the Everton side, DCL's well overdue a goal, but Richarlison's form is just so good that you might find that he's the difference maker there. So, you know, could do worse than having a look at Richarlison for that game. But I'd still expect to see DCL back in the goals. Should be a pretty good game, that one. I would probably favour Chelsea for the win. West Ham versus Leeds, however, I think is going to be very evenly matched. Bamford, well overdue a goal now. I think a difference maker in this could be Jesse Lingard. His form's like 7.3 since he's joined West Ham, which is better than anyone else pretty much in FPL at the moment, midfield-wise at least. Rafinha, outside of Leeds' last game that they lost, having a similar impact at Leeds. So this may well be a case of Lingard versus Rafinha in the difference-maker stakes here. I have Rafinha in my team. And as you might find out after the break, maybe I've got Lingard too. I've probably given that away. Should be a good match. I would expect goals. And then, as I said at the top of this section, Man City-Southampton is the only double fixture for this game week, and I 100% expect Man City to compound Southampton's misery. And as I mentioned a minute ago, this might be where you see captaincy for a Man City player actually come well for you. So I wouldn't blame you if you've got KDB. Maybe this is the week to stick the armband on him. And that brings us to the end of the Game Week 27 fixtures. A little tip for you out there. Obviously, we are approaching the blank game week at Game Week 29. And whilst I know it's still a couple of weeks away, if you want to save some points, it will take a few weeks sometimes to work certain players into your team. So have a look at the fixtures for Game Week 29 on the FPL website and just start to get an idea of which players have got a fixture in that game week, and see if it might be worthwhile for you pulling some in. I know it's been a crazy season and the fixtures coming thick and fast, but it definitely is worthwhile trying to sort of keep ahead a few weeks and just see what's happening and what manoeuvres. It's kind of 4D chess that you've got to do to maximise on that. Hopefully you'll do well. So yeah, we'll take a quick break now, and I'm going to finish up by telling you what I'm going to do in this game week, and I can also pretty much leak what Scott's done.
Bench Boss Boys.
Okay, final section for this super short episode of the podcast that we just wanted to squeeze in, just so that we were covering this very quick turnaround of game weeks for the Game Week 27 forecast. It's just me, Gav, on my own this week. Boo-hoo. I think I'll be joined by Ben again next week, and Scott will be back the week after. But I will just finish up this short episode by just talking about what I'm going to do. I've kind of foreshadowed quite a bit of it as I've run down the fixtures and who's in form and who's not. But I've made one transfer, and it's the injured Harvey Barnes is out and Jesse Lingard is in. That's likely to be my only transfer, but just to share with you kind of a little more long term things I'm trying to achieve at the moment outside of injuries or anything else happening. I do want to switch Cancelo for Diaz. Ruben Diaz at Man City seems to be the only locked in defender week in, week out, and they're getting so many clean sheets that I just need him in. And there's only 100k difference at the moment, so Diaz is 100k, 6.1. So I've got to make that happen. I've got a bit of money in the bank anyway, so I'm not too concerned. But that might be one for next week, maybe the week after. I might have to do two transfers next week, or I could even do them this week. That's for me to figure out. I also want to find place my team for Rudiger. And again, similar situation as Diaz. He's the only Chelsea defender that seems to be locked in right now, and they're getting lots of clean sheets. And then, as I did touch on earlier in the show, if Salah blanks against Fulham, I mean, to be honest, even if he doesn't, I'm hovering over the button on him. Liverpool are just in such terrible form. And how long do you hang on to a £12.1 million asset before you pull the trigger? If at the moment, if you jump on the FPL website, go to stats, look at midfielders and sort them by form, Salah's at about 15th in that list, and he's £12.1 million. And all these guys above him are £5 million, £6 million, £7 million. And I think at the moment it's Son. Son will come in. Tottenham do have a fixture in the blank game week 29. I believe it's against Fulham. And Son and Spurs, they're doing all right, especially all that link-up play with Son and Kane seem to be on fire again. So it's hard to justify keeping him. Another one I will also keep an eye on is Gundogan. As much as he's cheap, if the points are genuinely drying up for him, there's no point hanging on to him. Not sure exactly what that move will look like just yet, but just something to keep an eye on. So that's about it. I suppose for just a little bit more info, I did say what Scott had done inadvertently. Maybe it's great minds think alike. Maybe it's because we both host the same podcast. He also got rid of Harvey Barnes for Jesse Lingard. There you go. But I still have my triple captain and my wild card to play. I ruined my bench boost at the start of the year, but I'm keeping the wild card up my sleeve and the triple captain. I think I will try and do what people did with Harry Kane. I'll look for a double game week situation with a strong asset with two fantastic fixtures, and I'll just have to roll the dice. Not sure what that looks like just yet because they don't tell us that far out, probably only 3 weeks out max at the moment, where the double game weeks are going to appear. As Scott has mentioned a couple of times on the podcast, worth following Ben Krellin on Twitter. because he's done a lot of work in some pretty heavy duty spreadsheets around predicting when and who will get extra fixtures in what game weeks. So if you are into forecasting that, and I guess I should probably do it myself if I'm wondering when I might get this triple captain in, check out Ben Krellin on Twitter, and obviously check us out at Bench Boost Boys on Twitter. We have a good laugh on there, good crew, the FPL crew on Twitter, and benchboostboys.club is the website. You can listen to shows on there. We're across Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all your favourites. So you can catch us there, and email us benchboostboys@gmail.com. So send us a tweet or an email, actually, if you've got a question for the mailbag. That's usually a good chance for us to have a bit of fun with that. And otherwise, we'll catch you next week. So I hope you have a great game week 27. I hope mine is much better than my game week 26. And we'll catch you next time. Cheers.